This is Capricorn FM Podcast.
This grade 12 lesson is proudly brought to you by the Department of Education. Working together, we can do more providing quality education.
Now, to help learners catch up with their matric lessons, Limpopo's Hottest Frequency and the Department of Education Limpopo have teamed up to bring you the Limpopo Radio Lessons, are doing English First Additional Language.
Good evening, listeners. Good evening, matriculants. My name is Mr. Jore, attached to Dendron Secondary School. In today's lesson, we are going to focus on essay writing. It's English First Additional Language, and we are going to focus on your English paper 3. We'll try to go through all the essay types. Time permitting, maybe we'll move on to the other sections. It's sort of a revision of the lessons that we covered previously. So I think it's important that we talk about the steps that you have to follow when you have to write an essay. Because some of you might have missed the lessons that we had previously. So it's important that we just run through the steps that you have to follow, then also discuss briefly all the essay types, but giving particular attention to the descriptive essay and the argumentative essay. So the first step when writing an essay will be choosing of a topic that you understand. It's very important that you go through all the topics that will be provided on the question paper. Then after that, you settle for one topic which you believe you have information that will make you write an essay of a required length. So after this first step of choosing a topic, then you have to start to plan your essay. Planning is very, very important. I think this was emphasized even in the previous lessons that we had, to say, if you don't plan, then chances are that you may end up just waffling or repeating certain points are very high. So it's very important that you actually plan your essay. Then what we mean when we say you should plan your essay, that takes us to the next step where you have to write the rough draft. So when it comes to planning, you can start off by having a mind map. Then you develop that mind map into a rough draft. Then after writing that draft, then you edit it. You go through it again so that you come up with the final presentation. You write your final essay now as your step number 4. So it's very, very important that you follow these steps so that you come up with an essay that is logical, that is pregnant with content, an essay that will fetch you handsome marks, boys and girls. Then maybe at this point, I should just highlight the types of essays that will be on the question paper. And as you practice, you can just choose one that you want to regularly, or just two, maybe, that you want to regularly practice so that when you get into the exam room, you don't get confused that much. So the essay types include narrative essay. The first one will be narrative essay. We're just going to run through it. Though in the previous lessons, we talked a lot about narrative essays. Then descriptive essays, if you check your program, I think today the emphasis should be more on the descriptive essay. Then the reflective essay, which we also focused on in the previous lessons. Then discursive essays, which we also discussed in the previous essays. Then the argumentative essay, I think we are also going to give more emphasis on the argumentative essay, as it is the one that is on your program for today. So now let's focus on narrative writing, a narrative essay. A narrative essay is the one in which you will be telling a story. Remember, to narrate is to tell a story. So you are telling a story And since it's a story, and you are not sort of prophesizing, or you are not telling us about the future, you are telling us a story about something that happened in the past, a story on past events. So the reason why I am emphasizing the issue of past, is because you are expected to use the past tense when you're writing a narrative essay, because you are telling us about events that happened in the past. So the tense that should run through should be the past tense when you're writing the narrative essay. Right? The next thing is that you need to be consistent in the use of that tense, the past tense. You don't have to mix the tenses. Because if you do that, you may lose marks for grammar, for the language use. So it's very important that you should be consistent in the use of the past tense. Then you have to use language that goes together with the type of story that you are telling. If it's a story that happened quickly, that ended up in you maybe being on cloud number 9, being happy, being ecstatic, then you can use words that allude to that fact. Then I usually encourage learners to use words that actually paint a picture in the reader's mind. Instead of saying, I walked out of the house, you can say, I dashed out of the house. Already when you say, I dashed out of the house, we have a picture that the narrator here is rushing. Maybe there is an emergency that has to be attended to. I banged the door as I got out. You see, you are not just saying, I closed the door. I rushed to the sitting room. Those are the sentences that actually paint a picture of how events took place. Then instead of saying, I cried, you can say, I wailed bitterly. Tears streamed on my cheeks. I wished I had not answered the call. Already you have painted a picture by using effective words. So it is very, very important, boys and girls, that you use words that actually paint a picture of what you want to say. A narrative essay must also have an effective introduction that captures the reader's attention. Then you continue. You can start the story at the peak where the actual action took place. Then you take us through the whole story until you get to the conclusion. And this conclusion that we are talking about has to be something that is dramatic for your essay to be very much interesting. Basically, since it's a revision, that's all I can say about a narrative essay for as a way of revising the issues that we've already discussed. So, the topics that you can have for a narrative essay are such stories that require you to tell the story in the past tense. For example, it can be, I couldn't believe what I saw. Already, if you check the words that have been used there, I couldn't believe, it already shows that is something that happened in the past. Though some may not actually be in the past tense, but you must know that the narrative essay should be written in the past tense. Another topic can be the hardest goodbye. This kind of topic doesn't just mean to say you were saying goodbye to your friend who was going to town, maybe just for a weekend. No, because it's a hardest goodbye, you must be very creative, boys and girls. These days we have this corona pandemic. You should think of the unexpected goodbyes that we are making with our relatives, our loved ones. So your story should show that you are really creative. Then the reflective essay is the second type of essay that I thought we should just run through before we settle for the two that I want us to discuss today. So this is an essay that is written to explain what the writer thinks and how the writer feels about an object or an idea or a situation or experience. That's a reflective essay. It usually includes the emotions, as I indicated earlier, and your emotional response or your feelings to a certain situation. It could be about a dream or your hopes for the future. That's a reflective essay. And a reflective essay is usually subjective because it is based on the writer's personal experience. And normally it uses the first person narration where we use pronouns such as I or we, us. Then briefly, that's what I can say about the reflective essay. Then there is the discursive essay, which is an essay which requires, it's factual, and it requires you to tackle both sides of the topic. Here, you don't just focus on one side of the topic, no. You focus on both sides of the topic. That's a discursive essay. Usually, it requires you to focus on the merits or advantages of something and the disadvantages of that particular thing. You don't just focus on one side as we do in the argumentative essay that we'll discuss later on. So with a discursive essay, you already in the introduction show us both sides of the topic. Then from there, you start off maybe by giving us the disadvantages if you want. Then you move on to the advantages. Or you can start off by giving us the advantages, then you move on to the disadvantages. It all depends on how you want to structure your essay. But you must remember, always remember that the discursive essay should have both sides. You may come up to a particular conclusion at the end of the essay, but arguments for and against must be well balanced in that essay. It's very, very important that you balance your ideas in the discursive essay. I think, in brief, that's all we can say about the four types of essays that I thought we should just run over before we focus on the ones that we have to deal with today. Right. So today, like I said, I want us to focus on descriptive essays and argumentative essays. But first of all, we should focus on the descriptive essay, then we'll move on to the discursive essay. With the descriptive essay, what is expected of you is to use descriptive language. In the descriptive essay, you may use figures of speech. Actually, they should be part of your description. Figures of speech. Here we are talking about similes, we are talking about metaphors. You can also use idioms when you are writing your descriptive essay. The aim here is to paint a mental picture in the reader. As the reader is reading, he must be able to picture what you are actually talking about. You must create a picture using words rather than telling a story. So you are describing what things look like. You are describing how they sound. You must also bring in how they taste. Actually, in a descriptive essay, you must appeal to all the five senses of the reader. The reader at some point, if you describe the food very well, the smell of the food, the reader should actually salivate. If you describe the way things appear, the reader should be able to visualize what you are talking about. So you must use words that appeal to the sense of hearing. You must use words that appeal to the sense of taste. You must also use words that appeal to the tactile sense, the sense of touch. You must use words that appeal to the sense of sight. Maybe I should give you a few examples of such words. Words that are related to sight are usually words that that will paint a clear picture, like cluttered, immense, lovely, a tidy place. This appeals to the sense, to the sense of sight. And usually when you talk about the colors of whatever you are looking at, you are also appealing to the sense of sight. How do we appeal to the sense of smell, or which words can we use to appeal to the sense of smell? You can use words like something that was fresh, or something that produced a pungent smell, or something that produced an aromatic smell, or something that was that was rotten. You are appealing to our sense of smell. Once you say rotten, then the reader already starts to detect a certain stench that is coming from somewhere through the words that you shall have used. Then the sense of taste, how can you appeal to the sense of taste? You can use words like something was bitter, or something was salty, or something was spicy. If you do that, boys and girls, you shall have appealed to the sense of taste of the reader. Then words that appeal to the sense of hearing are your onomatopoeic words, like the wailing of whatever you're talking about, or the rumbling of the engine of a lorry or a truck, or the buzzing of flies. Those are words that appeal to the sense of hearing. Then words that appeal to the sense of feeling will be words like something was slippery, or something was sticky, or the surface was rough, or it was bumpy, or frosty. Those are some of the words that can easily appeal to the sense of feeling as the reader is going through your descriptive essay. The other important thing that you have to do is, instead of using words like something was very dull, you can say it was tedious or very painful. It's descriptive writing, so you use words like excruciating pain. Instead of saying very shiny, you say something was gleaming. Or instead of saying very exciting, you can say something was exhilarating, or something was very noisy. You can say there was a deafening noise. By so doing, boys and girls, you are using words that actually paint a picture in the reader's mind. So it is very, very important that as you prepare for descriptive writing or for essay writing, you look for synonyms of certain words that we use every day. Instead of saying something was nice, you can say it was pleasurable, or it was enjoyable. Words like good, they don't really paint a picture when you're writing an essay. So you can say something was outstanding, or something was amazing, or something was exceptional. Those are the words that we're talking about that you can use in your descriptive writing. You should use a lot of adjectives and a lot of adverbs when you're writing a descriptive essay. Instead of using words like somebody was funny, you can say the person was humorous, or an incident was hilarious, or it was comical. Those are the words that we expect when we are writing a descriptive essay. So you have to move away, or to drift away from using everyday language. Then you can also use idioms like they were neck and neck, meaning the competitors were at the same stage. Or I was in the driver's seat, which means we are very comfortable or in control of a situation. or somebody shifted the goalposts, meaning somebody changed the rules of the game, or you can say to get a cold feet, which means I was a bit nervous on that day. Or when he was going for the competition, I told him to break a leg, which means I encouraged the person to go and excel. We will continue with the argumentative essay after the commercial break, boys and girls. Thank you. Welcome back from the commercial break. It's Mr. Jore here offering English first additional language, and we're focusing on paper 3, essay writing. Before we went for the commercial break, we were discussing descriptive writing, and we said with descriptive writing, your aim is to paint a mental picture as the reader is going through your descriptive essay. He must be able to picture what exactly you are talking about, because you shall have used you will have used the words that paint a picture. We also said that you should use figures of speech, like your metaphors, your similes, and personification. Any other figure of speech that you remember from your English paper 2 should be used here in descriptive writing. And other than doing that, we also emphasized the fact that you must appeal to all the 5 senses of the reader. As the reader is reading, appeal to his sense of sight, his sense of smell, his sense of hearing, his sense of touch, his sense of taste. Then that will be a powerful descriptive essay. Now we want to focus on the argumentative essay. In an argumentative essay, you express your opinions or your viewpoints on a particular topic. The purpose of this type of essay is to try to convince or persuade the reader to agree with your opinion. So you have to argue a case for a point of view, then you convince the reader to say, this is how I see things. That's an argumentative essay. So in an argumentative essay, you are saying, what is my point of arguing? And the answer should be, you want to make your point very clear. You want people to believe in what you have to say. That is what is called argumentative writing. In argumentative writing, you are not going to give us 2 sides of the topic. You just stick to one point, one side of the topic, and you emphasize that side of the topic. Then you can raise at least 4 points that you will discuss in your, or that you will deal with in your argumentative essay. And the essay should actually start with your viewpoint as the writer. Your viewpoint should be clear from the onset. Then you should give a range of arguments to support and substantiate your view. That's what you are doing in an argumentative essay. So you want to get your point across. You want others to believe in what you have to say. And you don't argue. You don't later on say, however, to give us the disadvantages or the demerits of what you have been indicating. Then it ceases to be an argumentative essay. And an argumentative essay is subjective. We want to hear the strong points that you are expressing in your argumentative essay. And the language that you are using there can be emotional, but you don't have to be rude as you are forwarding your views. Then in the conclusion, you have to be very strong and clear on your standpoint, and you give a convincing conclusion. Then we say you have written a very good or strong argumentative essay. So the tense for this argumentative essay should be, in most cases, you are dealing with something, a subject that is in the present tense. So you mainly have to use that tense. The examples that I can give here for an argumentative essay, teenagers are controlled by electronic media. Do you agree? So like I said earlier on, you choose a side that you want to pursue, or the side that you want to convince the readers that this is what I believe. So you take one side and you deal with that one, that side, 4 points or 5 points, then you're done. Another topic can be social media has changed human relations. Do you agree? So if you agree, we just want to see points that show that you agree with this topic. We don't want at any point, boys and girls, to see you taking the other side to say, no, earlier on I indicated that social media has changed human relations. But however, no, you don't do that when it comes to argumentative essays. Or another topic can be your present circumstances will determine your future. Do you agree? So you just choose one side. If you want to say no, your present circumstances will never determine your future, then you take that side and you raise points that support that side. Or another topic can be teenagers are not really rebellious. They are just misunderstood. If you agree with that topic, you just continue saying, yes, teenagers are misunderstood because of point number one. Then you elaborate that point. Point number two, then you elaborate. Actually, as you are writing your argumentative essay, it must be very easy to come up with paragraphs for that argumentative essay. Because we know that a paragraph should contain only one idea. It means that idea in that paragraph should be the only idea that you develop before you move on to the next paragraph. I always emphasize to the learners that you must use what we call linking words to connect or to link these paragraphs or to link these ideas. If it's your first point, you may say, to begin with, then you give us your main topic or your main sentence, then you support it and give examples where necessary. That's how we write an argumentative essay. After you are done with the first point, you move on to the second point and you start off by giving us a linking word. Maybe you can say secondly, or you can say furthermore, or to add on to the above. Don't forget to always put a comma after the linking word. Then after that comma, what should follow in most cases should be the topic sentence for that particular paragraph. Then you elaborate and you give examples where necessary. The topic that I usually use when I am teaching argumentative essays is, should learners be allowed to bring cell phones to school? Should learners be allowed to bring cell phones to school? Right. If a learner says yes, he must, in the rough draft and the mind map, come up with 4 points that he is going to develop. Maybe the first point can be for easy communication with parents at home. Let's say is the first point. So when you are writing your first paragraph, you say, to begin with, learners should be allowed to bring cell phones to school to help them with easy communication with their parents. Full stop. Then you start writing. If there is an emergency at school, learners need to communicate with their parents so that the parents can attend to the emergency. For example, if somebody is playing sport and he gets injured, it will be easy to communicate with parents if somebody has a cell phone. Full stop. You are done with that paragraph. Then you can say, let's say you proceed to your second paragraph and you want to talk about maybe applying online. Then you can say, furthermore, cell phones can be used so that learners will be able to apply online for university space for the following year. That's your topic sentence, full stop. Then you indicate that presently, or in the contemporary world, applications are done online. So if someone has a cell phone, even at school, it gives him a chance to apply anytime he feels he wants to apply. For example, if somebody applies online, you get an immediate response. If we have to attach any documents, you get a response and you do that at the same time. That will be your second paragraph. So as you can see, these paragraphs are starting with a linking word. Then from the linking word is the topic sentence. Then from the topic sentence, you elaborate. Then after the elaboration, you give an example. So I normally call it the PEE method of developing a paragraph. It's PEE method of developing a paragraph. Is point first. You give us the key, the main sentence there. After the topic sentence, you elaborate what you mean. After the elaboration, you give an example. So it's linking word. Maybe you can call it LPEE. Linking word, then the point that you want to make, then the elaboration, then the example. Then that will be a complete paragraph before you move on to the next paragraph. I have another topic here that I just want us to use to highlight how we can write an argumentative essay. The topic is about school uniforms, as to why one believes that school uniforms are more appropriate than people bringing their own uniforms. School uniforms are a good idea. Write an essay to argue for or against this topic. School uniforms are a good idea. So what you have to do in your planning is that you have to raise your points, and I said there can be 4 points. So the first one can be point number one. Uniforms are a good idea because they encourage equality. It means your first paragraph will be about school uniforms encouraging equality. Then the second point can be to create uniformity. That's the second idea that you're going to develop in your second paragraph. Then school uniforms create school pride. School pride, that will be your third point. And your fourth point will be school uniforms save money. So as you are going to be writing your essays, we want you to start off with an introduction. And in that introduction, we must have a clue as to which side you are going to be dealing with. For example, you can say, often learners complain about having to wear the same uniform day in and day out. However, have you ever thought about how much easier life is when you wear a uniform? So already we can see that this writer is in support of the idea of wearing school uniforms. So we expect that the points that are going to come should be supporting this idea that has been introduced here. So you can say the first advantage is that no learner stands out as being richer or poorer than the next learner. You remember we said uniforms encourage equality. So the topic sentence here is saying the first advantage is that no learner stands out as being richer or poorer than the next learner. Then you continue elaborating. That was the point. Now you elaborate. Learners can also not compete with each other to show off the latest fashions, and no one needs to feel bad if their parents cannot afford expensive brand names. Instead of worrying about whether they look cool, learners can focus on improving their marks. We won't have learners maybe boasting about wearing grand labels, which I'm not going to mention here. That's the first paragraph. That's the first point that has been elaborated. Then in the next paragraph, we are going to talk about uniformity. We said uniforms are a great idea because they create uniformity. So you can start off by saying, furthermore, uniforms have got an advantage in the sense that everyone looks similar. Furthermore, uniforms have got an advantage in the sense that everyone looks similar. Then you explain. This ensures that learners are neat and can be easily recognized when they go out, when they go on outings. Let's say the learners have gone on a sports trip or they're going on a competition. It will be easy for them to be identified. That's the example that you can actually give. So it's point, then elaboration, then an example, right? Then you move on to the third paragraph. In the third paragraph, you can still start with a linking word, or you can just go straight and say, the third advantage is that wearing the uniform of a school instills pride and a sense of unity among learners. Then when you elaborate, you say, if you are wearing the same uniform, you can feel as though you are one family and you tend to support each other in times of need. That's elaboration, and you can give an example. Then the fourth point, you can raise another point and say, the fourth advantage is that parents need to buy fewer clothes for their children. As you can see, if we are using uniforms, then it means we will save a lot of money because we don't need to buy a lot of clothes. If we say learners should wear their own clothes going to school, learners will be complaining to their parents that I need this dress that I saw in this particular shop. So parents won't be able to save their money. So it is very important that learners should wear uniform to save money. After raising those 4 points and discussing those 4 points in detail, then you are done with your essay. It can be 5 points, it can be 6 points, but you have to remember that for matric examination, we expect that you write about 1 page and 10 lines on the next page. If it's very long, then it can be one page, 1.5 pages. Yes, but not more than that for English first additional language, boys and girls. So it's very, very important to ensure that you plan so that you stick to the required length. That's what I thought I should share with you concerning an argumentative essay. So what is important there is that you don't have to argue for and against at the same time. You just pick up a side that you want to support. Then from there, you use 4, 5, or 6 facts to support that argument. And you are subjective here. You have to persuade us as the readers to say, okay, so I think indeed learners should wear uniforms when they go to school. Or after reading your essay about taking cell phones to school, I should get to a point where I say, boys and girls, therefore, I think now we should start allowing children to go with cell phones to school because your argument shall have convinced me to say this is the way to go. You don't come back and start arguing against your own points. No, you don't do that in an argumentative essay. That is only reserved for a discursive essay. Right, so I think we have covered enough ground concerning an argumentative essay and the topics, like I said earlier on. Normally they will say, do you agree? But even if they don't say, do you agree, you will see that this topic is asking me whether I should agree or disagree. And the language that you use there can be emotional. And you don't have to be rude when you are using that language, though it is subjective. Right, now we'll go for a commercial break. After the commercial break, I think we should focus on section B. We are just revising the writing of English paper 3, English First Additional Language Paper 3. We'll continue after the break. Now we want to focus on Section B, Longer Transactional Text. This is marked out of 30, and the number of words should range from 120 to 150. For those who are going to choose letters, you must know that they can either be a formal letter or an informal letter. When you talk about an informal letter, we are talking about a friendly letter. So this friendly letter can be a friendly letter of gratitude, a friendly letter of congratulations. I'm emphasizing on the pronunciation of this word congratulations because some of you do not spell it correctly. Instead of putting that T after A, some learners put a D, then it sounds like congratulations. It's wrong. It's actually congratulations. Then it can be a letter to a family member or just to a friend. If it's a formal letter, then it can be a formal letter to the press, a formal letter of apology, a formal letter of application, or it can be a formal letter of a complaint to a company, or a formal letter to ask for donation. Well, let me be quick to say, when you're writing an informal letter, which is your friendly letter, there is nothing new there. It's revision. We know that there has to be the writer's address, your address. And the fact that you should remember is that it doesn't have to be necessarily your own address or your actual address. You can just create an address that does not exist. It's very important that you hide your identity if you are going to be writing the final examination, because for obvious reasons, you mustn't give us your actual address. Then after that address, which is followed by the postal code, there should be the date. Then from the date, you skip a line, then you give us the salutation, the person you are writing the letter to, Dear Alisa. If they say write a letter to your aunt, you cannot just say dear aunt, give that aunt a name. Write a letter to your uncle, give that uncle a name, Dear Uncle James. And there shouldn't be any punctuation. Quite often I see some learners adding some semicolons or a colon after the word dear. You shouldn't do that. There shouldn't be any punctuation. And even after the name of the person you're writing to, there shouldn't be any punctuation. Very important that you don't put colons, you don't put full stops. Then after that salutation, it will write your introductory paragraph, which is the one that gives us the main reason why you are writing that letter. That's the first paragraph. Actually, it has to have just three paragraphs. Then the second paragraph gives us more detail as to why you are writing the letter. But the first paragraph can be like this. Let's say you are writing a letter to congratulate your friend. You can start off by saying, it is my great pleasure to congratulate you on winning the Limpopo Provincial Debate as the best speaker in the senior teams. So we already know that this letter is about congratulating your friend. Then from there, you tell us why you think this friend of yours deserved to win. Then after that, the third paragraph is where you'll be wishing him good luck. I wish you monumental luck as you proceed to the national competitions. Then when you close a friendly letter, you should never use yours faithfully. You should just write with love, then underneath you write your name. And don't include your surname there, because your friend obviously knows you, so you just write your name. You should never say yours faithfully. This is different from a formal letter. In a formal letter, when you close, you should say yours faithfully, then you append your signature, then you write your name and surname. So in a friend letter, it's just your name without a surname. In a friend letter, you can say your friend Alisa without writing the surname. But in a formal letter, we want your signature. Then after your signature, we want your full names. Let me be quick to indicate the difference between a friend letter and a formal letter. A formal letter has two addresses. It's your address first, followed by the date, then you skip a line. Then after that, you indicate the recipient of that letter. Who is going to receive that letter? Let's say you are writing a formal letter of complaint. You are writing it to a shop. Then you should probably address the recipient as the manager or the section manager or the branch manager, the executive manager. If it's to your local municipality, it can be the executive mayor. Then you write the address of that shop or that municipality. Even if they say, write a letter to your local municipality, still you have to hide your identity. Then you just create another municipality so that your identity is hidden. Then if it's a letter of complaint, you should still use a polite tone. Though you are complaining about something, you must still use a polite tone. So after writing the recipient, you indicate the manager, then we want the recipient's address. After the recipient's address, then you write the subject, the reason why you are writing that letter. For example, if it's a letter where you are complaining about maybe a shop, your local shop that is running out of bread during weekends, your heading should be, no fresh bread available over weekends. Remember, the subject has to be brief. It has to be straightforward and clear. So you can just write, no fresh bread available over weekends. Then we know that in this letter, we will be focusing on the bread that is running short during weekends. Then in your first paragraph, you go straight to the issue that you want to raise. You can say, I would like to bring to your attention the fact that for the last 3 weekends, there has been no bread available at Mavel supermarket. That's the first paragraph. It should correlate with your subject or with your heading. And the heading, remember, if you write in capital letters, then you don't underline. But if you write in small letters, then you should underline. In your second paragraph, you now give the details as to what you mean when you say there has been no fresh bread. You indicate that it has been 3 weekends now, on the 4th of September, on the 11th of September, and this previous weekend, on the 18th of September, you went to the shop but you couldn't get bread, though it was still in the morning. Then in the last paragraph, you give your recommendation. For example, you can say, I would recommend that you carry out a research to find out the number of dozens that might be required in our area during weekends so that you can supply us with enough bread. You are closing your letter then. And in closing, you say yours faithfully, because you are writing to a manager whose name you don't know. You have just written DSA or madam. So here we expect that you'll say yours faithfully, followed by the signature, then your full name. It means you have to include your surname there. Another formal letter can be a letter to ask for donation. Like we indicated earlier on, since it's a formal letter, it should have two addresses. Then after those two addresses, we want the recipient's title, then Dear Sir or Madam, then you write the subject, request for donation. Then you underline if you have written in small letters. You don't underline if you have written in capital letters. In the first paragraph, that's where you give us the reasons why you're asking for donation. What is the occasion? Who will be there? Who will be present at that occasion? Why is there an occasion? How will you be celebrating? Then the next paragraph, you can indicate that you'll be glad if they supply you with that because you are expecting probably the Minister of Education, something like that. Then when you close, you must remember that it's a formal letter. You say yours faithfully. And after yours faithfully, you now write, append your signature. Then you write your name and surname. Another formal letter can be a formal letter of appreciation. Maybe after getting that donation, you want to appreciate the company, want to show your appreciation. Remember, the format is still the same. So the format of a letter is very, very important because you get some marks just for the correct format. But if you're going to be punctuating, putting some full stops unnecessarily, then you will lose marks. So it is very important that you differentiate. You read that question carefully so that you differentiate a formal letter from an informal letter. You check whether you are required to write a formal letter or an informal letter, then you use the correct format. Other than the letters, I think it's important that we should remind you as to how you should write an obituary. Remember, an obituary in English first edition language is to notify people about the death of somebody. As a family member, you have been asked to write an obituary, or as a learner at a school, after the passing on of a teacher or the principal, you are requested to write an obituary. So in that obituary, you are notifying other people about this incident. So you must always remember that you start off by giving us the biographical information of the deceased. What do we mean here? You give us the full name of the deceased. Then we also want to see the date of birth and the date of death. Then where was the person living at the time of the death? Then his birthplace. Then after that, you can move on to the second paragraph where you'll be telling us about the academic achievements. Maybe the primary school, the secondary school, and tertiary education. But if the obituary is asking you to write an obituary and pay tribute to somebody of your age, somebody who was in grade 11 or somebody who was in grade 12, it's important that you leave out things like profession, because we know that this person was not working yet. You leave out things like tertiary studies, because we know that this person was still in high school. So it's very important that you read the question. Some learners have a tendency of just memorizing when they get in the examination. They don't even read the question. They just say it's an obituary. Then they write something that they have memorized. So it's very important that you read the question and understand it. Then after reading the question, you can start writing. But the most important paragraph, say after the academic achievements, will be the tribute where you give us the contributions that were made by this person in the society. That's the most important paragraph, and write at least three or four things that makes this person distinct in the community. Then from there, you can give us the close surviving members, family members. Then from there, you give us, it's very important that you indicate the arrangements, memorial service arrangements and funeral arrangements. If you do that, then your obituary is complete. It's very, very important that you put more emphasis on the obituary. Boys and girls, we have come to the end of today's lesson. I'd like to wish you all the best. Thank you.
This grade 12 lesson was proudly brought to you by the Department of Education. Working together, we can do more providing quality education.
That was Capricorn FM Podcast.